The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama. Sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store. An interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
They're gonna pry these guns right out of my hands when they come to take them away. I believe in the rights that my fathers gave me when he signed the Constitution that day. No misguided president or crooked politician with a greasy pocket beast fair. When the hard-working man gets tired of your cry, it's gonna rain wrath, beware. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. You're not gonna take it away. I stand up and fight for my freedoms and rights. That's a price you'll have to pay. Don't tread on me, I'm American free. Red-blooded to the core.
Welcome to Armed Alabama. Glad you could join us tonight. We've got a good show for you. And, of course, I'm back in the studio after missing 2 weeks. So, good to be back here with
Where's
you, Judge.
Your note? We hadn't gotten a note.
We had a note from the doctor.
That's right.
Need a doctor slip to
That's
come back.
Right.
Of course, this is your show about self-defense, firearm ammo selection, concealed carry, proper range etiquette, training, Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi law, and, of course, federal law. If you have a comment for us here on Armed Alabama, you can call us here at the studio, 251-343-0106, or you can text to that same number, 251-343-0106. And as always, we are simulcasting on Facebook Live.
No, we're on YouTube.
YouTube,
man.
I forgot. Yeah, YouTube.
Go to the Armed Alabama YouTube channel.
And be
and
sure
like,
to check us
like
out there.
Like the page.
Yeah,
there.
Like the page and follow. And YouTube is are being nice to us lately, I guess.
We're just getting a clear. We're getting an HD, stream there. So.
And we like to be liked.
Yeah. We're so good looking, we just need to show ourselves off.
Yeah, so while you're on our page there on YouTube, go ahead and hit that bell icon, and that way you'll be notified every time that we go live or we post a new video. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, we are broadcasting on FM Talk 106.5 Studios in Mobile, Alabama, and is glad we're glad to be here.
And I put some new content up on YouTube. We've got about 850 subscribers. Really need to get over that 1,000.
Wow.
So that's good.
Tell your friends.
Yes, absolutely. Judge, what do you got for us?
I am just chomping at the bit. All right. We had bump fire stocks, I think, illegally banned by manipulating regulations to call them machine guns. Well, it was all based on the premise that Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas mass shooter, had used bump fire stocks on all these rifles he had to shoot at this crowd. Law firm in Mississippi sent a letter to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and I'll post this on Facebook, probably in April, because the response was May 1. And the response back said, in response to your Freedom of Information Act request to the Bureau of BATF, we have conducted a search for any records documenting the use of bump fire type stocks used during the commission of any crime to date and found no responsive records. So they have no record of any crime being committed with a bump fire stock.
Are you saying somebody just made that up?
What they did is, never let a good emergency go to waste or whatever. They, Paddock, the killer in Las Vegas, apparently had a couple, But I kept listening to if anyone would say, did he actually use them? And apparently never did. And so, you know, we had that whole class of, not weapons, but whole class of appurtenances gone. And I assume the same thing will happen with suppressors because another gun-free zone was attacked in Virginia and 12 people were killed and the poor people couldn't defend themselves there. And speaking of that, of course, we've had one or two more Waffle House robberies. Our local no-gun zone places, seems to me people aren't paying attention to that sign that says no firearms. And I went out in Grand Bay. They actually were herding the employees back into the, you know, the freezer or the storage locker, making them take their clothes off. And in my experience, that's always a prelude to a mass murder. You know, you herd them back there and you shoot them and then you leave. But that didn't happen, fortunately. But and keep in mind, folks, there's nothing that legally requires you to keep your not. You can carry your concealed carry handgun. You got a permit. You can carry it into Waffle House. They are not listed in the code unless they have guards and biometric screening devices and all that, which they don't.
Yeah, Judge, because by all means, I carry when I go into Walmart.
As John Locke calculated, 90-something percent of all mass shootings are in so-called no-gun or gun-free zones.
Yes.
And they're gun-free zones to honest people.
And you and I met John Locke a few years ago.
We did, too.
Man, what a wealth of knowledge.
And let me tell you, it's crime prevention research.org. I posted something on the Facebook page.
If you're not familiar with John Locke, he wrote More Guns, Less Crime.
Right. He's the one that gets out there and it's like the current vogue in our legislature and everywhere else is we need to make it a crime to not secure your gun and your car. There is zero evidence that those laws have had any effect anywhere they've been introduced. And I kind of question Public Safety Commissioner Barber said in 2018 that we had, I believe the figure was around 1,600 thefts of firearms from automobiles, which was interesting because that was four times as many as New Orleans, Louisiana had, which is larger and is much more crime-ridden than Mobile. And I never could find a link to any source for that. I think you're a fool not to lock your car. I don't care whether you have a gun in it or not. You ought to lock your car because somebody might hide in the back seat and do something to you when you come out. But, you know, don't make law-abiding citizens, don't blame them when criminals commit crimes, you know. That's kind of in vogue. And when I see Bloomberg and Every Town for Gun Safety and the Giffords woman, they're all pushing these type laws. You know, you got to get ready for it. And they just seem to think that, you know, I've told you before, the Second Amendment didn't even need to be in the Constitution. It was just an added guarantee. And they seem to equate gun rights as like smoking privileges or something like that. I mean, it is incredible. But somebody asked a legitimate question on Facebook. They said, "Oh, you conservatives, you talk about you don't want the government interfering in businesses, and then the minute somebody posts a gun-free zone, you complain." And my response was, "Listen, we hadn't had free market businesses or a free market economy in almost 100 years." Try putting up a sign that says no handicapped persons served here or no African-American couples are allowed in here or, you know, no gay couple. You can't do that. And so the government has pierced through the so-called private business rule a long time ago, and they build roads to get to businesses. And we've got a constitutional right to these firearms. I don't know that somebody's got a constitutional right to eat someplace, but it's just you got to put it in the proper perspective. We hadn't had a free market economy, unfortunately, in a long, long time.
You mean that sign that says we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone is not
legal? Well, it's one of those, you can refuse service to anyone for a bunch of reasons, but you can't do it for the wrong reason.
In other words, you can't do it for race,
sex, religion, blah. If somebody's just obnoxious drunk, yeah, you can.
Yeah,
but if they're have a handicap or various things, can't speak English well, no, that doesn't fit. I think you can if they're redheaded.
Yeah, or the ones that come in that have the pants sagging down.
That's right. We'll be right back, folks. Give us a call 251-343-0106.
When you're running down our country, man, you're walking on the back inside of me. You're walking on the back. Running down a way of life, our fighting men have fought and died to keep.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Good. Bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
Yeah, give him a little respect. Another thing I want to throw at Adam, just in general, because I've got several of these tapes, and I'll put them on YouTube for people to watch, is people that are performing very politely and professionally what they call Second Amendment audits, where they'll carry, let's say, an AR-15 pistol openly, still have a concealed carry permit, even though it's not concealed, different states, and where, of course, everybody in the neighborhood, is calling the police like they're carrying a boa constrictor around. And I was really surprised some very professional police officers said, we just need to look at your license. We know you're not doing anything wrong. It's just we're getting all these calls, and I can understand why you want to exercise your – and if you're doing it professionally, now, it's like when police officers have come up to me, I'll stick out my hand and say, introduce myself, instead of saying, I'm not giving you my name. Technically, you don't have to, but come on. We're kind of a polite world where we should be. It's just kind of gone by the wayside. But I'll pull a couple of those because most of them, like I say, this guy was good. He wasn't confrontational. A lot of those people get confrontational. This guy wasn't, and you could kind of see the reaction on. I've got an old friend that was a police officer years, and as he said, I would rather somebody be open carrying so I know what they got instead of somebody that, I don't know whether they're getting ready to pull out a pistol, a knife, whatever. But as I think Will and I talked about, if you are going to open carry, first of all, you don't have to, but I would have a permit. You have to if you want to drive anywhere.
Sure.
Put it on a sturdy belt, put it on a, in a good holster. I would say some kind of, retention holster.
Yeah,
because
at least a double retention holster.
Yeah, we all know there are ways around them, but to a law enforcement type, I would look at that, you would look at that and say, well, that person's professional. They're doing what they can to keep. And so, you do it like that, and
at least competent. But yeah. I couldn't tell you how many times, Judge, I've went into Walmart, and you have somebody there with a skimpy, skinny little belt.
Uncle Mike's holster. With a
$10 holster they probably bought at Walmart. And there's no retention. There's no
and I'm just worried
there's
about
nothing,
it dropping.
No strap or anything there to retain that firearm. And, of course, you're in Walmart, you're there at the shop. So if you're bending over to access items on the shelves, especially the lower shelves,
there
is a great potential for that firearm to slide out of that holster. And that is just unbelievably unsafe and careless.
And I wouldn't be concerned about a Sig Sauer or a FN falling out and discharging, upon impact. But if you've got a holster like that, the odds are you might have a off-brand cheapo gun that may not have been tested.
Yeah, and
drop tested.
And you could have a negligent discharge.
Yeah,
however, it's rare.
It's
but
very rare.
But knowing my luck, that
do everything you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
holsters are inexpensive insurance.
They really are, and it just shows you are, and on the double retention or level two retention holster. It is so easy. That's what I'm wearing. It's, folks, it's basically the Kydex where you slip in, it clicks in place, and you have to press a button in there. But that trains you, really. You press the button, you pull the handgun out, and your finger is naturally
on the frame of the firearm.
Around
yep.
the frame of that firearm.
Away from the trigger.
Yeah, yep. And it's very natural to do that. We talked about this in a break. Folks, go to the YouTube channel and check out the machete-wielding man in New Orleans and how I think they completely mishandled him. They were 10 feet away from him, and, you know, 21 feet is minimum. But anyway, you can see he's waving a machete around and all of this. And
yeah, that video's on our YouTube channel.
Right.
And what the judge is referring to is a police have engaged as far as trying to talk the individual down. But he has a machete. I know
which
it's
fine,
probably
but
two
I'd be
foot long.
About 35 feet.
Oh, and they're way too close.
Nobody has a handgun drawn.
Yeah, because, you know, I know with the Truller drill, if you're familiar with that.
If you've actually run it. Like,
and we have. We have. We've run the Truller drill 21 feet. And, man, second and a half.
Barely get your handgun out
yep.
and get a shot off before somebody is
on top of you. Yeah, exactly. And they were so close. They were just within maybe 8 or 10 feet, maybe.
Yeah.
And all
very
that.
Very nonchalantly yep. acting. I guess nothing amazes me, especially in New Orleans. But
well, speaking of New Orleans, during the break, Judge, I showed you that there were 17 shot, including 5 dead, in a violent Memorial Day weekend. In New Orleans. Of course, that's supposed to be a day of reverence for our individuals that served in the military and lost their life. And, of course,
not a time to go out and shoot at each other.
It seems to be the case in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. It is, if anybody goes to our pistol permit is reciprocal to Louisiana. They've got a lot of weird things in there, so you gotta obey the law of the state you're going to. Like here, you can go to a restaurant that serves alcohol. New Orleans, I believe you cannot. They just have a lot of other things. But listen, if you go to New Orleans and do not take a pistol with you, you're crazy. I mean, your life is too valuable. Just don't go.
Not only your life, but your family's life or whoever's with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I had a friend that always said New Orleans was a two-pistol town. you took two of them with you, you know. I tell you, I think who said that was our friend, the great New Orleans gun grab.
Right.
Yeah. So
and that's a radio show all in itself, the Great New Orleans Gun Grab. And if you're not familiar with that, that is where the police, New Orleans police, started confiscating firearms after Katrina. As people were leaving the town or whatever, they were stopping individuals, searching their cars.
Law-abiding
citizens. And they were also not only searching their cars and removing their firearms there, but they were going house to house removing firearms from private owners.
Refusing to give receipts.
Yep.
It was interesting. The guns that made it down to the impound were the high points and, you know, all of this. The guns that didn't were the upper end. Handguns. They just never seemed to make it down there. And
well, they had law enforcement officers from all over the country, and at least the videos that you and I seen, Judge.
And we've got one on YouTube.
They were California Highway Patrol.
Patty Connie, where they assaulted her. They came in her house.
Patty Connie is a elderly woman, and I would say she was probably in her late 60s, early 70s.
Yep.
I can't remember her actual age.
Right.
But she was a small, frail
yeah.
Lady.
And she said, I'm fine here. I even have a revolver if anybody comes in. Wasn't aiming it at him. We wasn't even loaded. And they just dove on her. It looks like these linebackers just dove on her and basically cuffed her and threw her in a car. And she winds up, I think, in Arkansas getting off a plane. Her the reason she didn't leave is because her animals were there.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of people. This was way after the storm, a week after.
And she
storm.
Didn't have to.
She didn't have to.
She showed in the video, she had plenty of stores, meaning that she had plenty of food in her pantry, plenty of food within her refrigerator.
Yeah.
She wasn't without power.
And there's no mandatory evacuation. The mandatory evacuation means after it's been declared, if you're on the public streets, you can be ticketed or even arrested. But if you stay in your private mm-hmm. home, they always give you the, we're not going to come to rescue you. Well, they don't. As we know, they have no duty to do that anyway. As we try to tell people, the reason you need to defend yourself and your family is because the police don't have any duty to do that for you. They'll try.
Absolutely. They have the best intentions, but you can't be everywhere at one time.
Yeah, police are minutes away, and they'll be the first ones to tell you that. It's amazing how many times they do get there in time, but don't bet on that. And there are a lot of people that do. I know a lot of people like that.
So what was the response time in the Virginia shooting, Judge?
I do not know. I do not know, but I think it's interesting.
I think it was 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
Which is pretty quick.
Yeah, it is. And you can do a lot of killing in 7 minutes. And he had two, I assume 1911s, it could just get 45s. And they said extended magazines. I've never known one really holds more than eight. I mean, do you know of a 1911 that has a 20-round magazine?
Yeah.
It's sticking out. Below.
There's other ones like Para Ordnance has a double stack, which is a really, really nice firearm.
And why he had a suppressor, I can't imagine, because that wasn't going to keep his action secret. I mean, it probably cut it down 30 decibels.
Yeah, I mean, it's still
as loud as a.
It's not TV.
32.
Yeah, it's not TV.
Right.
Even when you use a suppressor, it's still very loud.
Got to go to a break, folks. Give us a call here, 251-343-0106 at Armed Alabama on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile, Alabama.
On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Do you want to play rough? Okay. No. Say hello to my little friend. Okay. Do you like that? Huh? Do you want more?
That was one of the problems with unfettered immigration right there. The Cuban crime wave.
Tony Montoya.
Yeah.
Say hello to my little friend.
But you hadn't
seen
it.
I mean, that movie is terrible except for the last part.
The language is probably the worst I've ever heard in anything before. You want to grab Bill here in Tillman's Corner? We'll find out what's happening out there. Hey, Bill.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I've got a Kel-Tec PMR-30, and a double-stack rimfire is touchy to load. And I sat down here a couple weeks ago, and I found a Nestle speed loader. Have you guys ever run across those?
I'll tell you one thing. I've got a AR-15 that's a 9mm double-stack, and it's touchy to load, too. So I use one, what is it, Uplula or whatever it is, that one. But I'm with you. Some guns are just a little finicky. Plus, it saves your thumbnail and all that. So I'm not familiar with that brand in particular. Is your Kel-Tec, is that the 22 Magnum pistol?
Yeah.
How did you get one of those? I've been wanting one for years.
They're fun to shoot. They're lightweight and stuff, but when you try to put 30 rounds into a magazine, a hand, it's really tough, especially the last five.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the load.
You're smart. You're smart.
I ordered
getting
this Nistal speed loader.
Yeah.
And it is simple. I loaded 30 rounds into each of three magazines in 4 minutes flat.
Yeah. Oh, that, wow. Listen, that is a good deal. And I've got, there's one of these, the one I'm talking about is UPLULA, but you can load anything from a 380, a 38, a 9mm, 45, you know, a bunch of things. But I also have them for my, like, AR-15 mags. And, you know, some, like, Beretta's notorious about having a really tight spring. And I've got a 30-round magazine for a Beretta carbine. And I could probably only get 20 in there if I didn't have that loader.
Hey, Bill, on that PMR-30, do you have to make sure that each rim is in front of the other when you load it into the magazine? Does it hang up if you get one behind?
What happens, the bullet gets out of its proper orientation in there, and then they don't want to, it'll jam.
Yeah, it won't feed, but exactly, yep.
I bought this, actually it's American Speed Loader, and it's called a Nestile.
Uh-huh.
And you set the speed loader on the table, put your magazine in it, and there's what I call a rabbit hole. You just drop the bullet in there, press down on the magazine, and it properly loads it.
I think they're great. I used to have cuts and all on the end of my thumbnails, because I would load them a lot of times for students. And why not go with some new technology?
Yeah, well, it's a little lighter weight than I would have preferred, but, cost shipping and handling the whole bit was, $49?
Yeah.
Is lighter weight, but hey, like I said, I figure I can probably get 1,000 rounds loaded out of it anyway.
I keep meaning to tell McCoys, y'all ought to have just two or three of these just out on the table, so people, because you look at it and say, well, that's a lot of money. Why? But once you've kind of tried it,
yeah,
you're sold on it.
Yeah, so, it's awesome. But like I said, I know there's other people out there with the PMR, and it's good for the CMR-30 also.
Yeah. Well, I know I had a similar problem with the Colt-style 9mm AR, and it's hard to explain it, but they're not offset enough, and if they'll just all pop out on you. So,
yeah, talking about that 22 Magnum and the rim fire and the rims getting hung up on the previous round in front of it. I used to have a Russian SVT-40 from 1942, and this particular one was made, and it shot a 7.62x54R.
Yeah, right.
And it had a 10-round box magazine.
Is that what the Mosin Nagant?
No, it was. Yeah, it's what the Mosin Nagant shoot. But this was
a big round.
This was a big rifle, and it was an auto-loading rifle. And the gas system was really extraordinary you think this was Russian, 1940.
Yeah. Slave labor camps.
Yeah, of course, you think about Russians being very crude, but this SVT-40 was actually a marvel. And but with that, because it was a centerfire cartridge, but it had a big old rim on the backside of the cartridge itself, and you had to load one round and then make sure when you loaded the next round that lip wasn't behind the other when you loaded into that box 10-round box magazine. But fun fact, the gas system on the SVT-40 was so good that FN used it for
the FAL.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, listen, Bill, thank you. We got a couple of people hanging on. Appreciate it. Give us a call next week.
Have a good one.
All righty.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's see. Peter in Pensacola. Hadn't heard from you in a few weeks. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to hear these guys on the air tonight. I just wanted to say real quick, the Florida Panhandle Friends of NRA Banquet is going to be on August 2nd at the Hedgeye Shrine in Pensacola. That is the same night that the Mobile Friends of NRA Banquet.
Going to go to both.
So I can't get hit both at the same time this year.
Yeah. But I will put that, though, on the web. I'll put that on the Facebook page, the Pensacola because y'all need to do that too. And for people that are all hot and bothered about the NRA right now, this is a separate organization. It's a charity, basically, that buys police officers bullet-resistant vests. It teaches kids to shoot.
Yeah, they're really big with the Boy Scouts.
It's not buying LaPierre's suits or anything like that.
No, it's not.
Right.
We sponsor NROTC and Army Junior ROTC programs.
Good.
We buy equipment for police officers. We even provide equipment for veteran shoots when you have somebody
Ava
come through.
That is great.
The money stays local. This is a great program.
I know where to get the information. I'll put it up, and hopefully y'all can get some people there.
Yeah, because we have a lot of people, Peter, that, believe it or not, that listens to Armed Alabama in the Florida Panhandle within Cantonment.
I noticed.
Pensacola, Lillian, I mean, just...
Y'all need to secede from the rest of that state.
We'll take you. Y'all can just come on and be a part of Alabama. We'll take you.
No question.
I don't have a problem with that. This area, since I've been here just for 3 years, I've heard it called Lower Alabama so many times, I kind of get confused.
Yeah, it's a good area. Peter, got to run.
Thank you so much for listening, Peter.
Yeah.
Great. Great talking to you, gentlemen.
All right, moving right along, we have Russell's calling from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome to the show, Russell.
Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to briefly relay the information to you. I just heard not too long ago. I'm an Army veteran, by the way, and retired law enforcement. But the coward of Broward, that Scott Peterson.
I saw he was arrested today.
Yeah, he got arrested for child negligence charges and perjury. And I was just so pleased to hear that because he was such a fraud. And
I know. And what was so awful is that Scott Israel, just as big a fraud, the sheriff.
Oh, my God.
Misinformation. The whole thing was just so screwed up, which means, again, don't put your life in the hands of the local government. I mean, they do what they can, but, you know, I work for the government. A lot of stuff gets screwed up.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Listen, thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
You know, talking about the magazine loaders, that'd be a great Father's Day gift. I was just looking. I'm not familiar with the one the gentleman called about, but a company called Maglula, M-A-G, let's see what it has. M-A-G-L-U-L-A, and their brand of pistol loaders is called Uplula, U-P-L-U-L-A. They're, you know, depending on which one you get, they're about $29. Go down to McCoy's and get one of those. That's a good gift. Or if the man or your father, grandfather, whoever, is a shooter, buy him an extra magazine for his favorite pistol. You can't have too many magazines or ammunition or cleaning kit. So you can get it all down at McCoy's, and they're on Spring Hill Avenue just west of I-65. And they'll K&B Shopping Center there and tell them we said hello, and they're open every day but Sunday. So, and I guess, is Sunday Father's Day or is it another week? Since I don't.
They're keeping it a secret.
Yeah, exactly. But you can get it all in there. They're good folks. Apparently we have YouTube problems, but y'all stay with us. Hopefully we'll have the delayed feed there. But, you know, Adam, I was looking even at the RAND Corporation, liberal think tank. They had a list of so many of these, you know, various gun control laws and an analysis of whether they could prove that it reduced crime or did what it was supposed to be. None of them could. I mean, they just, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is we need a law. And I think we got far too many laws right now. We need to start abolishing some laws. You know, they estimate that even if you're a good person, you probably break an average of 3 to 10 federal laws a day, you know, because you don't even know they exist. And it's gotten completely out of control. So, but all we can do is watch out for ourselves. And I've got some.
Speaking of watching out for ourselves, and of course, Judge If you remember, you and I have met several people that used to live in Chicago.
Yep.
That came through our class and just talked about classes that we used to teach. To talk about what a wreck it is in Chicago, Illinois. One of the things
a failed state.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But one of the things that I have just come across today was more than 50 women have been killed by strangulation in Chicago going back to 2001, with no person indicted, no finger pointing or anything else like that. They're talking about maybe it might be a serial killer.
I got a good strangulation story when we get back from this break on Armed Alabama.
Little south side of Chicago is the baddest part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown. Now Leroy, more than trouble. You see, he's standing about 6'4". All the downtown ladies call him Treetop Lover. All the men just call him Sir.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat a 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
You all, that was an actual trip I took. I had to go to California. I couldn't believe the pilot did that for us. That was great.
Was Colombian Airlines, wasn't it?
I've got to go to Europe in a month or so I want those pilots on my aircraft.
And contrary to, but I don't want to get into Mythbusters, but firing a 9mm round through the, you're an airline guy, piercing the shell of the aircraft will not suck everybody out of the aircraft. It's not the best thing to be doing.
No.
But, you know, considering that I'm going to let this guy crash our airplane into the White House or take him out with a couple of rounds that might go through the skin, I'm going to take him out.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Judge, we have Glenn calling from Theodore. Welcome to Armed Alabama, Glenn.
Thank you very much.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How you doing?
Pretty good. What's on your mind today?
I have a Taurus 24/7,
okay.
45 cal. It was part of the lawsuit against Taurus, class action suit, claiming that if it was dropped, that it would fire. And my question is, I ain't planning on dropping it, but should I get rid of it?
Well,
send a letter out. They sent a letter out saying they'd give me $200 for the gun.
Taurus would?
Yes, sir.
I think I'd take it. Because the problem about selling it is, you know, you're selling it knowing there might be a problem. And then somebody, you know, immediately drops it and they say, why didn't you warn me about this? And why do you want to get into all that? I thought they were going to offer you a fix. You know, a lot of times they'll go back and correct something. But I think I'd just take the money and get out of it.
I don't think he was trying to sell it. I think he was just asking what he should do.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to sell it. I just
What has Taurus said? Have they admitted there's a problem with the gun?
Obviously have, because they did offer a fix, but I just didn't know about sending my gun, and they didn't guarantee when I'd get it back.
Oh, you'll be fine. Listen, I've sent guns to every company in the world.
I would send it back.
A few weeks. They're safety issues like that, they're real, real hot on. And that, whatever they offered, isn't going to go away because of the liability involved. I'd look on their website, and then you probably need to call them and get a return number. And, I'd let them make the fix.
Okay,
you
send it UPS or?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd ask them, what do y'all normally, because some people, it's either UPS or FedEx is the general way to go. But, you know, ask them what they normally are. And you need to go to the main office, the kind of the, you know, the little small offices that handle FedEx. They don't understand that you can ship guns legally and all that. So go to the main one.
Okay.
But I'd do that.
Contact Taurus, and then they'll give you the directions. They'll provide you with the directions on what
they
you need to do.
They may even send you a box, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. They may even send you a box to where you ship it, and then they'll repair it and ship it back to you. So if you like the firearm and that's what you want to do, by all means, that's what I
recommend. If it was more
than
30 days, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten them back from different places in a week. So.
Okay.
Give us a report back, Glenn. You know,
absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I'd be interested
in knowing.
Okay.
All right. Thank
you
very much, Glenn. Thank you for calling in to Armed Alabama.
That is not that unusual.
No, it's not.
Various things to come up.
You know, that's a topic that you guys have never mentioned. If you're going to ship a pistol or a long rifle, I guess, for that matter, are there some special considerations? Because aren't packages scanned sometimes, you know?
There are considerations. I've shipped several firearms.
Should you label it?
If you're shipping it back, let's say, to the manufacturer for repair, well, you've gotten into an interesting issue because I think at UPS and FedEx, if you don't declare its value, it's a $500 value.
No, because what you want to do is especially if you have a viable firearm, is like the last one that I actually shipped off, I shipped something that we mentioned earlier in the show, and that was an FAL. And this particular one was an Israeli FAL heavy barrel, which is quite rare, and I sent it to have it reparkerized.
And I just that Auto 5.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I
took it to UPS there on Wolf Road and took out insurance on it because
that's the key because
it is
such a firearm. Maybe somebody steals it.
Because it is such a valuable firearm, I took out insurance on it, and they were
obligated to tell them that you're shipping a pistol.
Yes,
my wife says yes. She's the. I thought if you didn't, you only had the $500, but.
I told him it was a cuckoo clock.
I know when you're shipping. When I get ammunition shipped in, it has an ORD stamp on it, which is hazardous.
Because she was like, well, this thing is really heavy, and why are you taking out $5,000 insurance on it?
Diamonds are heavy, lady.
I say it's a rare cuckoo clock.
That's exactly right.
Well, but, you know, I just would wonder if the package is going to be partly go by air. And if they scan the package and clearly it's a gun in the box.
Oh, that's a hell of a cuckoo clock. That's all
you're allowed to send them back to a dealer, a manufacturer, a gunsmith. I mean, various.
Sure.
You know, I couldn't ship my AR-15 to a cousin in California, you know.
Well, I think
what if he was buying it from you?
Well, when they ship it back to you, I think now it has to go to a gun dealer. That law has been changed since.
Really?
Yes.
Might be
since
something
I shipped,
to look up.
Yep. Since I shipped it, I have to go back and look at it. But I think that law has been changed that
well,
when it goes back to you, it has to go back to a gun dealer. And, and you have to fill out paperwork accordingly.
Well, that's crazy. It's just – this is getting
– Yeah, I'm going to have to look at that.
I think
– I will look that up and I'll report
report
our
next week
show
on it.
But I think that the law was changed in 2013 or something like that, 2014.
Well, I know when I shipped my Auto 5 off to the gunsmith.
When was that?
That would have been 2015. It would have been after that. It would have been 15. And, you know, when he finished, he shipped him back. Now, that was, you know, a little different situation. Let's see. Art's Gun Shop, if you need your Auto 5 fix.
One.
Let's see.
We're both looking now.
Yeah, Arch Gun Shop, they do a old-time job. Contact, let's see. He's got some good YouTubes, too, if you like to fool with Auto 5s and the old-time Auto 5s, not the, what are the new ones, A5s or something that they make. I know he wants all of his shipped by UPS there.
You know,
folks, we're running out of time here. Remember to go to our YouTube channel, Armed Alabama, and our Facebook page, Armed Alabama. Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. We're on every Tuesday night at, really, 7:05 here at FM Talk 106.5. And we got a great time doing this. Think up questions, et cetera, and call them into us next week or text them in to 251-343-0106. If you see anything come up during the news, call us.